Good evening. If you want to open your Bibles up to the book of Acts, we're going to be looking in just a moment in Acts chapter 16. Go ahead and be turning your Bibles there. As we said this morning, we're focusing on igniting this year. That is our goal for 2022, is the idea of ignition, for us to radiate or for us to burn with the zeal and love and glory of God. Now, as I said at the beginning of this year, for that to happen, for a fire to burn and to grow, three things are needed. You need that ignition source. You need a spark. And that's what we're trying to do at the first of each month. What is it we're going to focus on? What is it going to be that's sparking in our life that is hopefully going to catch and to tender and grow? We looked at the love of God and focusing our growth in that. This morning we looked at the love for His Word. But we also added to that, if you remember last month, fuel. We need something that's going to help this to burn. And this month, we're going to add a new aspect of that. So Brad, be ready. We're going to have a sub theme for the website, and that is oxygen. And if you will, we need something that's going to help fan the flames of this as we go through, something that will help that spark to not only burn, but to burn hotter and burn brighter in our lives. As we do that, what I hope is that it will not only help us to burn brighter, but it will help us to grow closer to Him. The way we're going to do that is to focus these series of lessons, this idea of oxygen, is going to be focused around character studies, characters of the Bible that are examples of what it is we're trying to grow in, what it is we're trying to learn in. So this morning we talked about growing in our love for the Bible, and tonight we're going to consider some characters, or a character I should say, that really helps to emphasize and exemplify what that looks like in their life. The problem is, it was incredibly difficult to figure out who that character is going to be because there's so many of them in the Bible. And as I asked others and I thought myself, who would I talk about tonight? I thought about the Bereans. You know, the Bereans were described as those who diligently searched the Scriptures to see if what was said was true. The idea of Josiah was brought up. Josiah, the young king who, when finding the Word of God, issued sweeping reforms, outlawed the worship of other gods in his kingdom. And I thought of Paul. Paul, who, when hearing the Word of God, had this remarkable change. The people that he once persecuted for the cause of Christ, he now proclaimed. Even Gideon comes to mind. A man who cowardly hides in a wine press, as he is threshing wheat in a wine press, and the Word of God comes to him. He hears the Word of God, and we see a transformation of someone who no longer is hiding, but leading in a battle or an army of 300 and defeating an army of considerable size, 120,000, Judges 8 tells us. These are all fantastic. Problem was, I still struggled because all of them have other characteristics and other feats that I thought would work better in other areas of our lives. And so I asked Holly. I said, Holly, who is someone you think of who is impacted by the Word of God and went on to do great things to glorify Him? And without giving it hardly a second thought, before I could finish the sentence, she said, oh, you got to talk about Timothy. I said, wow, I didn't think about that one. But I needed to think about that one. And you're going to think, man, you've bragged on Holly twice today. What have you done? I haven't done anything. That's what's so awesome. So that is a great idea, and I'm glad I sought her counsel on this topic, because you might be surprised what you have to learn about Timothy in the Bible. The Bible actually has a lot to reveal about him. And this character, we might think of one as just kind of a sideline cast. He's a supporting character in the story of Paul, but that's not true. He is someone who is greatly utilized, someone who is heavily appreciated, someone whose company is sought out by the apostle of God, especially under difficult times. So I want to take a moment to meet Timothy and help get to know him. To do that, we go to Acts chapter 16, and in our minds, we go back to around the year 49 AD. This is when we first meet him in a city called Lystra. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. I'm reading Acts 16, verse 1. And a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium, Paul wanted this man to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. One of the first things we see here in Lystra is Paul, likely on his second missionary journey, comes to the knowledge of this young man, and when he meets him, he immediately wants him to come with him. A few things that stand out about him is at this point, Timothy's already a Christian. Timothy is already a disciple, a follower of Christ. We don't really know exactly how that happened, but we have some clues. We have some things that we can take from Scripture to help us understand that just a little bit better. For example, in Acts chapter 14, we find that this isn't the first time Paul has come to Lystra. Acts chapter 14 reveals some interesting things. For example, during his first missionary journey, Paul comes here and heals a man who is lame, a man who can't walk. The people are greatly amazed by this. They begin to praise Paul as the gods who have become men, and Paul is quick to put a stop to that. But as that goes on, we find that the problems that Paul faced in other cities, mainly Iconium in this place, they're going to come back to haunt him. They're going to see the Jews who didn't like Paul and ran him out of Iconium are going to show up in Lystra, and they're going to stir up a crowd, and Paul ends up being stoned in Lystra. In fact, left for dead, almost as if these people who decided to kill him were able to successfully kill him. At least they were convinced of it themselves. So they go and leave Paul out here bleeding and bruised, having been stoned. And Paul miraculously gets up and goes back into the city. On the next day, he leaves. But what's fascinating, and this is what I wonder must have just been such an amazing thing in the eyes of Timothy, it says in verse 21 of Acts 14, after they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. Paul came back to the city that had stoned him, that had left him for dead. They came back, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of wonder what Paul looked like when he came back into Lystra. If he still had the bruises and the scars, the open wounds that came from being stoned, being pummeled to near death at the very least with rocks, and making his way back into the city looking this way, saying, through many tribulations, such as what you see and have seen me go through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. There's no doubt in my mind that Timothy in Lystra was made evident of these things at the very least, that these things were recalled to him, if he did not see them himself possibly. The Bible doesn't tell us. But these things happen in the city in which we find Timothy later in Acts 16. Amazing things, the devotion of someone who is following God, the power of God in his lives. It must have been that Timothy saw those things, but what the Bible does, instead of recording that, and instead of recording the amazing things that he might have seen, the Bible decides to give us a separate piece of equipment, or of information, excuse me. It says in chapter 16, verse 1, that he is the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. His mother believed in God, and in fact, when we dig into his life more, we get over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you want to turn over there with me. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. In this passage, Paul is going to describe Timothy, and especially we get a little bit of a description about his mother and also his grandmother. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says, I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. One kind of side point. This is one of the only times in the Bible that we have the phrase grandmother used. That is holy scripture inspired by God calls it out. The Greek word that is there, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it looks a lot like mammy. And I think that's kind of interesting. So I'm going to say it as that. He says, your mammy believed first, Lois. And then also your mother, Eunice. And I believe that that belief is in you. What this is an example of is generational faith. the faith of Lois that seemed to have impacted the faith of her daughter, which seemed to have impacted the faith of her son. Generational faith. This Jewish woman was a believer along with her mother. But before Paul's journey to Lystra, what we find is they were busy doing something. They're not just believers in God, but they're busy taking what they believe and instilling it in others. If you want to turn over to chapter 3, Ryder read this for us, verse 14. You, however, this is Paul talking to Timothy, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from what you have, from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy had been taught from childhood. Who was it that taught him? It wasn't his father. His father was a Greek. Seems very reasonable to say that it was likely his mother and his grandmother. They are not only showing generational faith, but they are showing a desire to live out Deuteronomy 6. Teach them as they walk along the way, when they rise up and when they lie down. They taught the words of God, and it led to Timothy becoming convinced. That word convinced, pistuo, that is where we get our word faith. Timothy had faith. He believed. He had conviction. He was assured. Why? Because he had heard these things from a child. And that firm confidence was partly because of the efforts of these two women who believed and read to him the words of God. It's likely then that all three of them come into contact with the message of the gospel and are first converted during Paul's missionary journey in Acts 14 around 48 AD. So about a year before we meet Timothy in Acts 16 is probably about the time that he first hears the gospel and obeys. And what does that do? What it does is it has this profound impact on him. We're going to see that. I want us to notice the impact that has. So in around 49 AD, he meets Paul. Paul says, Timothy, I want you to join me. You're a well-spoken of disciple, and I think you can do good, so let's go and do work together. And one of the first things Paul does is have him circumcised. Right off the bat in this work, he's going to face a tough decision, a big decision. It's a literal sacrifice is going to take place. But in Acts chapter 17, verse 4, we find some interesting things about Timothy. He's left in Berea when Paul goes on. Paul is being taken down to Athens, and he leaves Timothy in Berea. Obviously, Paul has some trust, has some faith in Timothy that he can continue this work here, continue to help. But when Paul gets down to Athens, he recognizes his need for Timothy. He calls Timothy immediately to come down. The very next verse, verse 15, he calls for Timothy to come to Athens. Now, Paul, in his work in Athens, it ends up causing him to have to leave. You remember that, Acts 17, Paul goes on the Areopagus, he preaches to the men at Mars Hill, and then he is having to leave that, and he ends up going all the way up to Macedonia. It takes Timothy something along the lines of a better part of a year, year and a half, before he finally makes it there. But when he does, Acts chapter 18, verse 5 reveals he comes, and something changes in Paul's life. Paul's working as a tent maker. He's making, he's doing his craft, his trade. He's involved in his trade, making tents with Christians there in Macedonia. And when Timothy shows up, the scriptures say something changes. It says that he focuses his work solely on the preaching of the gospel. Why do you think that happened? I think that likely happened because Timothy showed up with support. Macedonians were known as a people that were going to provide great support later. I think Timothy brings support, probably sets an example for them to follow later. But Paul now is able to focus on the work. That also in itself reveals something about Timothy. Timothy has become someone that people that he's working with, people in places that he maybe has not got years and years of a relationship with, they trust him enough so he's doing the work of God and he's doing the work to help other people do the work of God, and we're going to trust him to take this money and go on. It illustrates that it speaks to his character. But there's other things I think stand out to his character as well. Later on, Paul is going to write to the Corinthians and he's going to talk about Timothy's work in very difficult places. He tells them in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 17, this is around 57 AD, several years later. He says, I am sending Timothy to the Corinthian church. Now, if you got a list of churches in the New Testament that you get to go to and work with, I have a feeling the Corinthian church is probably not high up on the list. When you go to chapter 6, you find that these people were involved in fornication. They were involved in homosexuality. They were involved in idolatry, thievery. He says, but you have changed. You have been transformed. But what we find through the letter is that transformation may have taken place, but they have had all sorts of problems creep back in. There is division. There is infighting. There are people saying, well, what we believe and how we act, it's better than what you believe and how you act. All of this is causing them to separate and to make a mess and a mockery of the family of God. We see that they are involved in tolerating sexual immorality amongst them, all sorts of problems. And Paul looks at all that. All of this is going on. A report's come from Chloe's family, all the terrible things that are happening. I've got the man. I'm going to send you Timothy. That's who you need. You need Timothy to go up there and work with you. He notes in chapter 16, verse 10, you need Timothy to come and do the Lord's work in this area. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19, Timothy preaches Jesus Christ to the Corinthians. We see that Timothy does work in difficult places. It's not the cream of the crop. It's not the easiest job in the world, but Timothy is the one that is trusted to go and do these things. We also see in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. Let's look over at that verse. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. Think about what Paul says here at the end of this letter. O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. Avoid worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and thus gone astray from the faith. Timothy, protect the word of God. We see that Timothy is more than just someone who is around the work. It's not that Timothy is just somewhere nearby when work is going on. That's the point that I really want to try to get across with all of this, is Timothy is the work. Timothy is saying, there is something to be done. I want to be a part of it, to the point where Paul even says, the word of God, the power of God to save, Timothy, you protect that. You are charged to care for that, to guard it. It's entrusted to you. Maybe one of the most profound things that sticks out to me, how did all of this impact Timothy? How did becoming a Christian impact Timothy? Hebrews 13, 23. Timothy's arrested. He is imprisoned because of what he believes, because of what he is doing. We find that he is arrested and imprisoned for his involvement in Christ. The word of Christ has great impact on Timothy. We can even find some of that outside of the Bible. There's some extra biblical things I want to share with you. Extra as in outside of Scripture. These come from tradition. These come from sometimes people who lived very close to the life of Timothy. Sometimes they come from oral traditions that have been passed down. So we're not going to look at these and say we know certain that these things happened exactly as they happened, but there is good evidence that they are quite accurate. One that I found very interesting, it is firmly believed by many historians that Timothy was likely born around 17 AD. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. That means when we meet him and he begins his journey in Acts 16 with Paul, he is in his early 30s, maybe around 32 years old. But what stood out even more to me is not when he was born, but when he died. Many traditions and many reports record Timothy dying around the end of the century, around 98 AD. There are some discrepancies in these descriptions, though, but they are so small that they almost beg them to be true. First tradition says that Timothy in the city of Ephesus, under the reign of Domitian, attempted to stop a pagan festival called Catagogion, and he reproved them for their idolatry. The people in turn beat him with clubs so severely that 2 days later, Timothy died. This is reported from the Fox's Book of Martyrs. But another source called the Acts of Timothy. Now, this is an apocryphal book. That means it's not a part of the not a part of inspired Scripture, and it certainly has things that when we get into it, we can see that there's contradictions, there are problems. But there are many things in these apocryphal books that stand out historically that give us an idea of things that happened around these times. This one, very interesting to what was reported in Fox's Book of Martyrs, says that under the reign of Nerva, not Domitian, but Domitian dies in 98 AD and Nerva reigns from 98 to 100 and then he dies. So under the reign of Nerva, Timothy in Ephesus tried to end the pagan festival of Catagogion, which honored Dionysius with many immoral and also murderous events. Timothy is quoted in the Acts of Timothy as saying, "Men of Ephesus, do not be mad for idols, but acknowledge the one who is truly God." He's roughly 80 years old, by the way, according to tradition, when he does this. The mob seized him and beat him. He was rescued by fellow Christians, but died later from his injuries and was buried in a place called Pion of Ephesus. Again, I said there's some differences there, but the similarities make it at least plausible that they are somewhat correct. What's interesting about them both is they showcase that this disciple stood firm in his faith in a city of Ephesus. And if you look in 1 Timothy chapter 1, you find that that was the instruction that the apostle Paul left him with. In fact, let's consider that for a moment. Some things that the first letter that Paul wrote to Timothy highlight about him. This letter is believed to have been written around 50 AD. Paul, we know in this letter, is free. He's heading to Macedonia. It's likely in his third journey. And Timothy, I want you to catch this, Timothy is considered to be young. Now, if we go off of 17 AD, that's going to put Timothy potentially around 40 years old. You guys do with that what you want. Paul says it's a young man. But in 1 Timothy 1, verse 3, we get a picture of someone who is acquainted with the Word of God, so convinced that they followed it in its wisdom to find salvation. This is who Paul writes to. And he says, "I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines." I find that very interesting considering the tradition of how Timothy died, his devotion to what he believed. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 through 19 continues, "This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith." What does Paul say to someone who believes the Word of God and is doing the work of the Lord? He says, "You're a warrior." Something that we learned also in our gospel meeting. You're a warrior, you fight the good fight, but you keep faith and you keep a good conscience as well. The way that we war is just as important as being a warrior, Paul would say to Timothy. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, we won't read all that. Timothy is instructed to help establish leaders and servants, to help establish good church conduct. And good church conduct is described as having those that are leading it, shepherds, pastors, elders, and also those who are serving it, deacons. Now, we go to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and read verses 1 through 13, and we go, this is what the qualifications are for these offices. But for our purpose tonight, what I want you to do is go, this is information that God wanted, that Paul wanted, that was being instructed to Timothy, a believer of the Word of God, so that he was convinced of it. He said, I want this information in your mind. What that tells me is Paul expected Timothy to be someone that would encourage people to be these qualities, that would warn people when they were falling away from these qualities. It was just as important to have a church that is established with elders and deacons, but it was also just as important to have somebody that was willing to step up and say the things that need to be said to make sure a church became established with elders and deacons. Someone who would encourage them, someone who would, if need be, correct them, and someone who would instruct them. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 continues. Think about this in light of our lesson this morning. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following, constantly nourished on the words of the faith. He said, Timothy, habitually be feeding on the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11 continues, Timothy, be a teacher. Prescribe and teach these things. I like verse 12, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example to those who believe. What is someone who has interacted with the Word of God so as to have conviction, so that they believe, so that they have sought out the words of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ? He says, you turn into a teacher. You turn into someone who's setting an example, someone who's showing those who believe what it looks like to follow on in that faith. In chapter 6, verse 11, chapter 6 describes a whole manner of evil. But verse 11, he says, flee these things. You man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. In fact, whenever I was discussing Timothy, a good friend of mine, discussing Timothy with Landon Rutter, who's gonna come and do our gospel meeting for us in a couple months in April. As we were kicking it around and talking about different aspects of his life, a picture started to emerge that I had to start kind of jotting down these things that we were discussing. A picture of the character of someone that is being described as one who has heard the Word of God and been impacted by it. It says, this is what we came up with. First introduced in Lystra, recruited by Paul, leaving everything behind, family and life, Timothy steps into the unknown by conviction, becomes a worker in the kingdom of God, believed and was moved by what he had seen, but emphatically by what he had heard from God's Word. That's Timothy. That's who the Bible is describing to us in this character that we sometimes just kind of push off to a B-list. He's supporting cast. He is mightily useful and works in great ways in the service of Christ our Lord. So what do we learn from Timothy? We've met him. What do we take away from him? The first thing I want you to take away tonight is the effects of generational faith. Please do not miss this. The way that you read, the way that you study the Word of God, it affects more than just you. It affects your advice. It affects your example. It affects your perspective. All of them are being shaped and molded by the Word of God. And that is profitable because the Word of God is able to make us complete. So choose to be someone like Lois and Eunice. Choose to be someone with generational faith who's going to study God's Word, who's going to trust in Him, that's going to search out His wisdoms, and be patient and ready to see how God uses that in the lives around you. Number two, I want you to see the value and the benefit of teaching our children the Word of God. How did Timothy get to be someone who's so intertwined with the work of the kingdom of God throughout the world? Because his mother and his grandmother made a point of it to teach him God's Word. Now, every single Sunday at 5:20 here in the back, we have an opportunity for your kids to come and learn about the Bible and to study and talk, have a devotion. Sunday mornings at 9:30, Wednesday evenings at 7, we have Bible studies. Do not miss the importance of those. Do not miss the value of those. But also do not miss that that is not a replacement for teaching our children the Word of God. When it comes from someone so close to you, when it comes from someone who has developed this generational faith that is saying, this is what I believe, this is what I am convicted, this is what I stand on, do not miss the value and the importance of that. They may not grow up to teach Christ across the globe, but maybe they might. At the very least, they will have been bettered to have heard it from those who love them the most, giving them the most valuable thing that they can give them, God's Word. And finally, please do not miss the effect of God's Word on those who desire it. Timothy heard God's Word. Timothy saw God's power. And Timothy stepped out in faith to follow Him wherever that would lead, whatever that would cost. The question that might come today is, are we stepping out in faith tonight? Is that describing us? Is it maybe that we don't evangelize because we say, I just don't know if I know enough? I don't know if I've spent enough time in God's Word. Could it be that we don't serve because we just don't love enough? We don't have the mindset, the eyes that God has because we don't see as God sees, because we don't read about what God sees. Could it be that our marriages don't radiate the glory of God because we haven't submitted ourselves humbly before Him? How can we change that? We're still here in Timothy. Actually, turn over to 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, we read this verse this morning, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. You know what that's not saying? That's not saying reading will magically change you. We need to be very clear on that. But what it is saying is God's Word is power. Talked about this morning, God's Word is active. God's Word, light was created when there were no stars. Ever thought about that? There was no sun. God said, let there be light, and there was light. What was producing it? Not just Him and His Word. God's Word pulled mountains up from the deep. God's Word made the lame to walk. God's Word raised the dead, calmed the seas. Romans 1:16 is the power to save, the power to transform. And if we desire it and we spend time in it, we will find His grace working in our lives. In fact, that's exactly what 2 Timothy 3:14 through 15 tells us. Notice what he said there. You have become convinced of what you have learned from childhood, verse 15. You have known the sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. If you are here this evening and you are not convinced of your salvation, please know that it comes through faith in Christ Jesus. Faith comes from hearing. Faith comes from spending time in His Word, which tells us what He has done, who He is, how He loves. And that is what we are here to help you with. If we can assist you this evening in becoming more like a Timothy, someone who hears and sees the power of God and is convicted by it, convinced of it, ready to follow it, and follow it to Him, follow it to Jesus through faith, we desire to assist you with that any way that we can. Let's talk about it together right now. Come forward as we stand and as we sing.